Welcome everyone. Welcome to St. Thomas's online service. So thank you for being here. We're going to be thinking about this, our topic for today from Jeremiah 29, what God says to people who are in exile.
Today's reading is taken from Jeremiah 29, verses 1 to 25. A letter to the exiles. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests. The prophets and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elisha, son of Shaphan, and to Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zebadiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so they may too have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, God of Israel says, do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed from Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declared the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. You may say, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. But this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all the people who remain in the city, your countrymen who did not go with you into exile. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword, famine, and plague against them. I will make them like poor figs, that they are so bad they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with the sword, famine, and plague, and will make abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth, and an object of cursing and horror, of scorn and reproach among all the nations where I drive them. For they have not listened to the words, declares the Lord, words that I sent to them again and again to my servants, the prophets. And the exiles have not listened either, declared the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says about Ahab, son of Kaliah, and Zebekiah, son of Meshai, who are prophesying lies to you in my name. I will hand them over to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will put them to death before your eyes. Because of them, all the exiles from Judah who are in Babylon will use this curse. The Lord treat you like Zebekiah and Ahab when the king of Babylon burned in the fire, for they have done outrageous things in Israel. They have committed adultery with their neighbours' wives, and in my name have spoken lies, which I did not tell them to do. I know it, and I am witness to it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
So thanks to Ian Devine there for reading from Jeremiah 29 for us. Thank you, Ian. Ian was one of those folk who wouldn't normally read up front in church, but offered to read for us because it's online and nobody could see him. Unfortunately, I've given him a horrible reading with all those difficult names. So well done, Ian, for being able to do it for us and doing it so well. Thank you. So it would be helpful if you've got a Bible to turn to it, if you can, to Jeremiah chapter 29. We're not doing a series at the moment. It's partly really just trying to respond to what's happening around us, and I'm very conscious that many of us are beginning to struggle. We're getting a bit fed up with the lockdown, and for some people it's still okay. They're not minding it too much because they're not having to engage too much with people, but I think people are beginning to struggle a little bit, and struggle is part of the Christian life, and I think that's probably why we're finding this hard, because we're used to the comfortable Christian life, not an uncomfortable Christian life, and it's taking us a little bit of adjustment. But I wonder whether the Lord is doing something radical with us and in us, both as individuals, but also for the churches around the country. So I thought we would take a few minutes this morning to think about that passage from Jeremiah, because it's speaking to a people who were taken from their homeland, from Jerusalem, from Judah, and deported to Babylon, a distance probably of about 500 miles, and their move from their homes basically to redevelop land that had been devastated, that had been captured and had been devastated, and they were expected to work the land to redevelop it. But they weren't doing what they wanted to do, and they weren't in the place that they wanted to be. And the most famous verse, of course, from that chapter is from verse 11, where it says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And it would be so easy for me to preach that message, wouldn't it? We've seen it on all sorts of Christian paraphernalia, from stickers to posters to memes. You know, it's the kind of thing we put on a card and we send it to someone when they've gone through some difficult time. And but I think often when we do that, we're kind of lifting that verse out of context and failing to understand what God is really saying through it. So I thought we would talk about that. And this might be a little bit disappointing to some of us who use that verse or lean into that verse regularly. It doesn't mean what we think it means. I do not think it means what you think it means, as someone once said. Let's think about that. What in fact is the context? Well, we're looking at the 6th century before Christ, something like that. And God's people have been deported to Babylon. And the context of the verse is really significant, isn't it? If you look at the verse before, it says this, verse 10, it says, "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place." So Jeremiah the prophet is writing to the people in exile and saying, here's what God says, you're going to be in exile for 70 years. One of the problems was that some of the prophets were saying, don't unpack your bags. Don't be too quick to unpack your bags while we're in Babylon, because don't worry, this is all going to be over really quickly. And we're going to be able to go back to Jerusalem, back to Judah. We're going to be able to do the thing that we really want to do. And Jeremiah's saying, well, no, that's not the case. Here's what God is actually saying. Here's what the Lord is saying. 70 years. Now, if you think about that, that's several generations. It means that the people who are alive now are never going to go back, are never going to return to the place from which they've come. And one of the things that God's people had to learn was patience, was to wait on the Lord, to be patient and to kind of have that long view of history. The obvious application for us today is this: how many of us long to be out of lockdown? How many of us long for this to come to an end? Probably most of us, we would love to see it come to an end and life to return to normal. But what if? What if it doesn't return to normal, what we perceive to be normal, anytime soon? What if this lingers for a few more months, and whatever happens, it's going to be a phased return to normality. It's going to take time. But let's say we have a year having to live like this. We will adjust to it and we'll get used to it. But it's interesting, isn't it, what God says to the exiles? You know, they have to be patient. But notice, it doesn't just say be patient and wait for the day that all of this happens. This is what the verse 4, if you've got a Bible with you. And this is what the Lord Almighty says to all those I carried into exile. He says this: build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. So you could wail and moan and get depressed. That would be a perfectly normal and human reaction to being displaced from the place that you want to be in. Or you can try and do something creative and positive. God's people were told, you're in exile, but you have to make the most of it. So you live out your life and you make family and you build family. But not only that, you try to contribute to the community where I have placed you. You see, the interesting thing behind all of this is God led his people into exile because they had been disobedient. They were not doing the things that he wanted them to be doing. Lots of people are kind of speculating, is God saying something in the midst of all of this? Has God sent this plague and so on? And none of us can know that. None of us can know the detail of that. But we believe that he is sovereign and he is in control and that he is behind everything. So let's say that God wants to use this time of change and this time of exile so that we might be a greater blessing to those around us, so that we might seek the peace and the prosperity of the community in which we're placed, whether that's our street or whether it's the wider community, that we seek to have an impact. You see, that is one of the important things that God said to those exiles. I wonder whether it's something that he's saying to us. Now, as we work out how we're going to do church, what kind of church we're going to be in the future, maybe that will be key to us. We will seek peace and prosperity in the city to which we've been carried into exile. You see, the city we're in is our exile. Even before all of this happened, our home is not here. Our home, our spiritual home, our home is in glory with the Lord. We are citizens of heaven. We're not merely citizens of the community in which we find ourselves. So let's come back to that verse 11. That's the context, if you like, that we find ourselves in. What about coming back to verse 11, where it tells us, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You see, the word that's used there for you is not an individualistic word. It's not about me as an individual. In other words, this verse, we need to be very careful not to take it and use it as an individualistic kind of treat. You know, this is what God says to me. He wants to bless me. You see, that's the culture in which we live. Very individualistic, very self-centered. But the reality is, not only does this verse not mean what we think it means, but also it's not all about me. Or it's not all about you. That's one of the huge dangers for followers of Jesus, that we make it all about us. In fact, it's one of the dangers for people in our culture. We live in the word that we use is a narcissistic culture, where it's all about us. What we want and what we desire becomes paramount. And of course, when we're denied that, it becomes hugely difficult and painful when we cannot do the things that we want to do. We cannot be the places that we want to be. That hurts because it breaks into that narcissistic, it's all about me and my rights and my wants and my needs. So we're living in this time where that is not going to be quite so paramount. And actually, looking forward, it's probably going to be more important that we don't focus on our individual needs, but that we have that wider sense of what is going to be important. The NHS, we are lauding and applauding on a Thursday night, and it's wonderful to behold people doing that. I know one or two people who really aren't very positive about it, but it's a good thing to be doing. But when the time comes, when the crunch comes, and when we come out to the other end of this, and we're seeing fewer and fewer people suffering from COVID-19, will we be willing to pay the cost to have a National Health Service that will help as many people as possible and protect and heal as many people as possible and pay the cost of that? Will we have a sense of community that we want to see peace and prosperity built up amongst folk? Are we prepared to pay the cost of that? You see, those of us who are believers, I think we'll probably have to give some input on that and maybe even take a lead, because we understand that God's purpose is for us to bring peace and prosperity to as many people as possible, to care for as many people as possible. So is this verse, does it have no meaning for us? Because it's about community, it's about that 6th century community of people who've been exiled. Well, hold on a minute. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You see, for us who follow Jesus, we read that verse in the context of the greater span of history. And we know that our hope and our future is dominated by that hinge of history that happened when Jesus was born and lived and taught and died and rose again. You see, that's the hinge of history, and it's from there that we get our sense of our hope and our future. So there is an application here for us, I believe. And the application is to understand when God speaks that to his people, he's speaking about the future coming of the Messiah. As we read back, that's what we understand. We have that bigger picture that they could never fully grasp. But we who have that understanding, we are able to look back and see how God has worked in history. So for us right now, maybe the important thing for us is where we are looking. Maybe we want a particular blessing from God, but you know, he has already blessed us in Jesus Christ. When we look to him, when we put our hope and our trust in him, we are seeing the fulfillment of that verse. So whatever grief and whatever pain and whatever suffering we are going through right now, whatever discomfort we're going through right now, we can take hope from that verse because it points us, I believe, to Jesus Christ. So may that be a comfort and a help to you today. He does care for us. We know from the overarching span of history, God cares for his people, and the people were brought out of exile. It took some time for that to be worked out. It took some time for God's people to realise that they had screwed up, they'd got it wrong, and they needed to get back on track. That's why the prophets kept coming again and again and again to call God's people back in the path that he wanted them to be on. So may God help me to do that. May God help me to trust in him and follow him and to seek his purpose, to see his plan being worked out in my life. But may on a bigger stage, may we see that being worked out in the life of the churches of this land and in the church that we happen to be part of in particular, that Jesus would be our desire and our focus. So this morning, we remember it's not all about us. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. And so, Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you that it is not all about us. Help us, Father, to draw close to you through these difficult days. Help us to believe in Jesus and to follow him. Give us patience through these difficult times. And help us to wait on you, to see your purposes worked out. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.